nightmare town.
Hello, neighbors, and welcome back to Nightmare Town. We are Betty Boom.
And I'm Mandemonium.
And do we have anything to talk about before we get into this super awesome, exciting episode that we're going to be doing?
I don't think so.
You do anything exciting lately?
No. Not really, other than we exchanged gifts safely through my door the other day. That was nice.
I got to see Manda for the first time in almost a year.
Yeah, guys, it's been literally like almost a straight year since I've actually seen Betty in person. We've just been recording remotely.
since March of last year.
COVID, yeah.
No, but, since tornadoes. We started this before it was cool.
Yeah, yeah, before it was trendy to stay at home.
I think it's because we were just both really tired, and we're like, can we just try doing it this way?
Yeah.
And then COVID happened, and I'm like, I miss you!
Yeah.
Friend. But we did. I'm really looking forward to my gift. One of them, I will not be opening all the way. It will have a place of honor on my bulletin board.
As it should.
Yes.
And ooh. I am currently utilizing my gift. Hopefully the audio quality is slightly better. Thanks to Betty's gift.
I hope so. I hope you like it.
I love it. I'm very excited about it.
But yeah, we exchanged gifts, got to see each other kind of in person. There was a screen door in between us, but
yeah,
safety first.
Yeah, it was
first.
Kind of dark, but you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
Being safe.
And then today at work, I almost started a fire.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I had to call the owner and I was like, hey, I think I broke the panini press.
Oops. At least you were honest.
Well, okay, he messaged me back and he was like, yeah, no, you just tripped the breaker, but I'm glad everybody's okay. Because pretty
good.
Much whenever I called him, I was like, so first off, everyone's okay.
Oh, that's a great way to start off a conversation with your boss. First of all, everything's fine.
Except for this one big thing that's an expensive piece of equipment. But no, like, so my kitchen manager gives me daily tasks to do, and then, like, on Mondays I have a certain thing to do, and every day that I'm there I have a certain thing that I'm supposed to get done, no matter what. And today was clean the panini press, and it's one of those, like, recently they wanted me to start moving it, and this thing is as heavy as, like, my 10-year-old. Doesn't wiggle around as much as him, but still.
But it's dead weight.
So I go to move this monstrosity so I can clean underneath it, and normally I don't have much trouble doing it, but I found like this metal piece on the side, and I was like, oh, that feels like a handhold. Have I been doing this wrong the whole time? So I grabbed a hold of the metal piece, and I lifted, and whenever I lifted, the metal piece just came off, and it fell between the panini press and the wall, and it just happened to go perfectly and hit right in between the socket and the plug, and there were sparks.
My gosh.
And I was like, oh god. So, like, I ran over and, like, shut off the power to that part of the kitchen, and then I grabbed gloves, and I made sure I was, like, grounded, and, you know, everything was off, but I was still like, I was like, I'm gonna get electrocuted, and I'm not gonna be able to record tonight.
Because you got electrocuted.
Because I'm gonna be like, I'm done.
That's
I'm
what
done
you're worried about.
I put a lot of effort into this podcast, this episode, okay?
Yes, you have.
So, yes, I was worried about not being able to record tonight because I electrocuted myself. Because of stupid... I hate that panini press. His name is Forgan, because he's fake Gordon. But...
Stupid faker.
He really is. Well, okay, so, before Theo had COVID, which was back in September, I've named all the things in the kitchen because it's what I do. I'm a cook. I don't know if I've told you guys this before, but I'm currently a cook. But, so all of the machines have different names, and our Panini Press was named Gordon after Gordon Ramsay. But, so I get back from Theo having COVID, and it just didn't feel right. Like, it wasn't closing like it normally did. It wasn't opening like it normally. It just didn't seem right.
Yeah.
And so finally I just asked one of my coworkers, and they're like, oh yeah, that one messed up, so we had to get a replacement. And I was like, Forgan. Fake Gordon.
Like, I knew something was off.
Exactly. You don't come into my kitchen being a new
piece of equipment. Swap out your Panini Press.
Without telling me about it. Even though I am just a cook, I have no management in that place at all.
Yeah, but the cooks kind of keep the place running, you know?
Yeah, that's why I have a kitchen manager, and they are amazing, and they are She-Ra, and just, I have nothing but good things to say about them. But anyway, outside of work, our episode this week is called
Animals! Really creative name.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's vague. It's what we do.
Yeah, I like the vagueness.
Exactly. So, and we've talked about different animals before. So, I think way back at the beginning, almost 3 years ago, when we started, well, not you and I started, but whenever Tilly and I started the podcast, we did an episode that was called Mommy Dearest, and Tilly the Kid covered a bunch of cannibalistic and horrible animal mothers.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then we've talked about animals before. We talked about... That was Bella.
Speaking of animals.
We've talked about animals. We stay on this planet sometimes.
Have we ever talked about the Woogalar? We ever talked about that animal?
The what?
A Woogalar.
Woogalar? I have no idea what that is.
My dad knows what that is, if he remembers. It's like a half deer, half horse. It's got the antlers of a deer.
Does it have stripes?
Body of a horse. It's just something my dad made up, because one time it was dark outside and I could hear it was either a fox's scream or like a bobcat's howl or something. And it was the first time I'd ever heard it, because I was like a very small child, and he was just like, it's a Woogalar, and was like describing this animal to me. And I'm like, totally, like, my sister, who is like also my age, like immediately like called him on his bullshit and was like, that's not real. And I was sitting here just like, really? Like, thinking this was some undiscovered creature. And I was like, oh, it is?
It's like, oh, well, that's a letdown. Yeah. That's adorable.
I don't know why the name is just forever ingrained in my brain. Because I think I was like 5. But
there was a moment of wonder, and you hold on to that. Always.
Wonder and or terror. Because it was dark outside, and we were, like, kind of, like, in someone's yard.
Aren't they one and the same?
Pretty much. But, yeah, Dad, if you're listening, thanks. I still think about the Woogalar to this day.
Papa Mo,
never forgot.
Never forget.
I probably described it incorrectly, though, but...
You described it to the best of your small regulation. Words are hard.
Words are hard.
Alright, friend. Well, it is actually Manna's turn to go first, so I'm excited to hear about the animal, or animals.
Well, thankfully for the rest of the listeners, I'm not going to drone on about a Woogalar for the entire episode, because...
But you could.
I could. I could stretch that out into something, but I'm not going to do that to y'all. So... I'm just going to throw out a saying, and I want to know if you know what it means.
Okay.
And hear me out through the whole saying before you stop me, because this first line's going to throw you off.
Okay.
If it's brown, lie down. If it's black, fight back.
Bears.
Yes, that's how to survive a bear attack. I'm so proud. I'm glad you got it, but hopefully
they can smell their menstruation.
They probably definitely can. Like sharks.
Have you ever seen Anchorman?
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen it. And the only scene that ever sticks out in my mind is when he's screaming about being in a glass case of emotion.
I randomly quote that movie, and I don't know why. I didn't like it that much.
It was pretty funny, though. It was a very quotable.
It is, yes. Yes.
But, yeah, anyway, so I was researching, you know, how to survive a grizzly bear attack, because I actually found a terrifying story about a grizzly bear attack that I wanted to share. This comes from fieldandstream.com. And I'm actually just going to be reading the story they have posted here, because it's posted, written. It paints a picture. So, in October of 2016, Stephen Vouch, age 29, was attacked by a 275-pound black bear while on an Idaho sheep hunt, which is even more terrifying because black bears are supposed to be the ones that are scared and skittish and you can scare away, but not this black bear. This black bear was being a real dick.
So he's just being a dick.
Yeah, so this black bear was being a real dick. So, as the story goes, this guy writes, "I've hunted with my friends Bobby and Chris a lot over the years, but this was our first time floating the West Fork of the Salmon River. It was day 14 of our trip, and we hadn't seen a good-sized ram yet." They were ram hunting, apparently. "So, we were still pushing it hard. That day, we'd run some big rapids, so we were exhausted by the time we stopped on Sheep Creek. We set up camp and ate. Then I crashed at 10:30. I was sleeping in a bivy sack next to Bobby with a tarp strung up over us. Well, at 2 a.m., something woke me. It felt as if I were being pulled by the hair. The first thing I did was grab the back of my head, which was all wet, and then I saw the shadowy figure over me without realizing it, when the bear had bitten my skull." Like, it just went from, like, 5% to, like, 110% real quick in this story.
Oh, God.
"I'd whacked him in the mouth out of reflex, which made him jump and knock the tarp down on top of us, with my head still right between his front paws. I yelled and started reaching for my pistol, but the bear had shoved it out of reach while rummaging around. But then Bobby woke up and saw him standing over me and grabbed his Judge revolver. He lifted the tarp to see and then, sticking the gun right above my head, shot the bear in the face from, like, a foot away," which is just terrifying.
Yeah, that's way too close.
Yeah, probably hearing damage, but, you know, better than a bear attached to your head. "After that, the bear ran up a tree above us, but I managed to find my rifle and put him down quickly. There was blood everywhere. Bobby and Chris helped me clean the wounds and skin the bear. Then we just slept late the next day and kept looking for sheep."
What?
Yeah, what? Like, he says, "It was one of the greatest adventures of my life and further instilled why you should make sure the guys you're hunting with know what they're doing. This could have ended a lot worse than it did." So did the bear, like, not, like, clamp down on his head? Like, did he not need medical attention immediately?
Well, okay.
Like, did it just drag him?
Well, like, if even if you just get, like, a minor head wound, they bleed like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, because it's thin.
But it's one of those, you wouldn't necessarily skin. Have to have medical attention.
I guess.
That or he's just one of them, you know, mountain men that's just like rubs.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably like, "No, I've had worse. I'm fine. I'll be all right." But, yeah. So I found a couple other ones that I also wanted to share. I just thought that one was particularly alarming because it was like, huh. Okay. So this one is titled "An Empty Rifle and a Charging Bear." Also in October, a grizzly bear attacked Rick Hollingsworth, 47, while he was hunting elk in Alberta, Canada. So it was a Canadian bear.
My dad's been there. Hunting.
I want to go to Canada. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if he ever encountered any bears.
He rode next to Ted Nugent on the plane.
Same That's thing, neat. Right? Yeah, pretty much. So the story goes, that morning, my cousin Rob and I were headed out to hunt near the Simonette, sorry Canadians, I know I said that wrong, river, but only I had a rifle with me. Since Rob didn't have a big game license at the time, we were about half a mile from the truck when we noticed fresh wolf tracks in the snow. As we kept walking, we saw a spot through the woods where crows were scavenging on a dead animal. I loaded my rifle as we slowly approached, thinking we might come upon a wolf eating the carcass. I heard this low calling sound, but a big spruce was blocking my view, so I couldn't see what was making it. That's when Rob yelled, "Grizzly!" The bear charged straight at him, and with no time to lift my gun, I fired from the hip and hit the bear's shoulder. As soon as I shot, the grizzly turned and charged at me. I shot again, for maybe 8 yards, but it just kept coming. Because, yeah, grizzly bears have, like, really tough skin, and, like, a bullet's just, like, in his shoulder is not going to stop him, and now he's just mad. Grizzly bears are, like, so terrifying to me.
There's a reason why bears are super hard to kill in Skyrim.
Right? Exactly. Let's see. Yeah, so... Oh, God. It says, the bear swiped at me, spraying its own blood everywhere. That's even just, like, imagine a bleeding bear that's angry at you because you made it bleed, just swiping its enormous paw that's bigger than, like, your body at you.
Oh, no thank you. No thank you at all.
Just paint that picture in your head for a minute. it says, he ducked out of the way. When he shot the third time, the bear was no more than 2 feet away. Now we were face to face and my gun was empty. It swiped at me again, but its arm was hurt. That's when the bear opened its mouth to bite me, and I shoved my gun's barrel right down its throat. It chewed on the rifle for a few seconds, but I had stunned it, I think. It backed up 20 yards, giving me a chance to reload and fire a final shot. At last, the bear went off and died in the forest. The whole event lasted just 10 seconds or so, but it was the most scared I've been in my life. I just tried to stay on my feet and remain as big as possible. Grizzlies are beautiful animals, and if there were another way, I would have let it live. But it didn't give me an option. Like, I mean, yeah, it's an angry grizzly bear coming at you. Like, it's okay that you killed it, man.
I like how he was like, just try to be as big, and I'm thinking, I'm 5'2". That's as big as I get.
Yeah, so I actually went to looking up, which I've read this before because as somebody that's on occasion does like backcountry hiking, mm-hmm. I want to know what to do if there's a bear. And I like to give myself a refresher now and again. So I'm just going to share with you guys what to do to survive a bear attack. Obviously... a gun can be helpful if you hit it in the right spot, but if you just hit a grizzly bear's shoulder, then you're just going to have a bleeding, angry grizzly bear coming at you. But yeah, so to survive a grizzly bear attack, it's good to carry bear spray. And also, don't run from grizzly bears. When you run, the bear thinks you're prey and is going to continue chasing you. Also, don't think you can outrun a bear. They might be big, but they can reach speeds of 30 miles per hour. Did not know they could go that fast. That's terrifying. So stand your ground. Again, if it's a grizzly bear, drop to the ground in the fetal position and cover the back of your neck with your hands. If you don't have bear spray or the bear continues to charge even after the spray, this is your next best defense. Hit the ground and immediately curl into the fetal position. And play dead. Grizzlies will stop attacking when they think there's no longer a threat. So if they think you're dead, they're not going to think you're threatening. Once the bear's done tossing you around, which it's probably going to do, and you're probably still going to get hurt, but maybe not die, just like keep playing dead until it's completely out of the area. Because grizzlies are known for waiting around to see if their victim will get back up. Holy they just want to make sure that you're dead. They're like cats. He's gonna wait.
Oh god. This is why we don't go into the woods.
Yeah, right? Well, I do, but...
It's okay, I have a story for you after this. Probably shouldn't.
I can't wait to hear it now. Alright, so how to survive a black bear attack, because black bears are supposedly more skittish than grizzly bears, even though apparently that one guy got his, you know, skull grabbed by a black bear, but he was also asleep, so maybe that's why. But they also, the experts recommend carrying bear spray for that as well. But for a black bear, you're going to stand your ground and try to make yourself look big and make, like, a lot of noise, because black bears are liars. They're going to bluff when they attack. So if you show them that you mean business, they might just try to, like, get bored with it and lose interest and go away. Don't climb a tree, because black bears are really good at climbing trees. Climbing a tree will not help you at all. If the bear actually attacks, if it's a black bear, you can fight back. Just use anything and everything you have as a weapon. Rocks, sticks, fists, teeth, just everything. But this...
I will bite a bear.
Well, this recommends aiming particularly for the face, eyes, and snout. Because if a black bear sees that their victim is willing to fight to the death, they'll probably just give up. So, yeah, and this also, there's like a good FAQ section, people asking if a gunshot's gonna kill a bear. A pistol, like a 9mm, might kill a black bear if it's within a few feet and strikes to the head or heart, but it's not gonna be immediate, so maybe don't rely on it. A 12-gauge might be more effective, but again, it's no guarantee. Against a grizzly, because they're like freaking mecha robots, it's quite impossible. You're just gonna piss it off. And a pissed off grizzly bear is like 10 times more terrifying and threatening than like a regular grizzly bear. Mm-hmm. So don't rely on a gun, which, you know, that last story I just told kind of showed you that. The guy shot and shot, and then he just had a bear charging him, saved his friend. But ultimately, he got lucky because he just shoved the rifle straight down the bear's throat because he was out of options.
It's like
I don't have anything else
like
to do.
It's like that one vine where, like, the guy's in the creepy old nun mask and then his friend has, like, the weird hand. You know which one I'm talking about? Where, I don't know, where the friend just, like, it's like a long, creepy hand with, like, long fingers and then he just goes, what? Right down the guy's throat.
The only thing coming to mind is salad fingers.
Salad fingers.
With his rusty spoons and his long fingers.
Oh my god. Thanks for aging us.
You could have just said, salad fingers who? What is that?
They know I'm older
than
you.
I've never heard of that. I've not been online since the dawn of the internet.
They know that I'm older than you.
Yeah, true. I did just call us both out there.
Yeah, thanks, Amanda.
You're welcome. Maybe one day we'll do a cast all about terrifying things we found on the early internet days, like salad fingers. Because that was probably one of the most terrifying things. But anyways, back to bears. So here's one last story about a bear attack. This is another grizzly bear attack.
Really?
This says, bear guide Charles Allen led Cabela's Outfitter Journal host James Lattice and cameraman Carrie C. on a grizzly hunt along Alaska's Sioux River. The group was charged by a bear, and Allen tells the story. We had spotted a good boar, and we were working within range. There were heavy rain and winds of 25 to 30 knots, but Jim made a perfect heart shot with his 0.375. Sorry, gun enthusiasts. Like, I don't know how to read gun things.
They don't have a pronunciation for that.
I think that's how you read that. 0.375. Is that right? at 55 yards. The bear went down, got up, Jim shot again, and it went down for good. There's two more, said my assistant guide, James, and 90 yards away was a very agitated sow and cub. The sow was bouncing up and down. She probably couldn't make us out as humans through the storm. I gathered everyone up, and we began to move away. Off the rise we were on, but she spotted us and immediately began charging. You can see me on the film yelling, "Hey, bear!" and waving my hands. I was hoping she'd identify me as human, because these are hunted bears and generally very wary. But at that moment, the bear and I locked eyes. In no way a bear ever had. I knew she was coming, so I shouldered my .404. She was a blur coming up that rise. There was no doubt in my mind that she was going to kill or seriously maim me, and then work her way through all four of us. I just shot as she came up on her hind legs to begin her launch into me and hit just left of dead center. That rolled her over backward, and she came up facing the other way. She was pretty broken up. She only made it 20 yards before she died. We marked it off, and I shot her at 12 feet. She had a 23-inch skull and was about 9 feet squared. She was 15, which is very old for a bear up here. That .404 is a pre-1964 model 70-inch.
Gun
stuff. I don't know. That's a bunch of other gun things. I'm just going to skip it because I'm just going to butcher it. It had a lot of recoil. He was going to leave the gun up there, like where they hunt, I guess, over the winter, but now he's taking it home to practice with.
That's smart.
When you get a reminder like this that your life depends on your shooting, it kind of motivates you. Which, again, don't completely just rely on a gun to fight off a grizzly bear, because grizzly bears don't give a shit, because their skin is impenetrable. Pretty much, apparently. They're like the worst kind of zombies. Yeah. Like, it takes a minute to get them down. It's not just a one shot. And they can move.
Oh gosh. Yeah, no thank you. Do you want to hear my bear story?
I do want to hear your bear story, yes. I'm very interested.
You get out of here with your puns. So, this was a few years back, and I had just gotten a new camera, and so I wanted to go make a video about, like, where I'm from. You know, I'm from Jackson County, Tennessee, which is a very, very small area.
Yeah.
Like, there was maybe 112 kids in my graduating, like, my high school graduation for my class. That was it. Just maybe 112. So I grew up in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Like, we owned 52 acres of woods. Our house was dead center in the middle of it. Which definitely deterred me from sneaking out at night. Just saying. Smart on my parents' part there. How do we keep the kids in at night? Let's move to the middle of nowhere and scare them.
Then they'll never leave their house at night again.
But this was during the day. My mom knew I was coming over. I wanted to, like, actually film some of the woods. And because there's two unmarked graveyards on the property, and so I wanted to get footage of it. So I get to my parents' house. My parents were at church. My eldest brother was home, and he reminded me that it was tick season, so I needed to rubber band the bottom of my pants so that way I wouldn't get ate up ticks. Yeah. So I go out there, and I'm recording, and I'm out there for probably about an hour and a half or so, and then I make my way back up to the house, and then I get home, and my mom's home, and then she was like, "Oh yeah, did you see the bear?" And I was like, "Excuse me?
What bear?"
What? And she was like, "Yeah, there's been a bear that's been seen over." It was literally, it had been seen to the east of the property and to the west of the property, and the only way to get to those areas was to go through my parents' property. And I had seen my eldest brother, who is an avid hunter, and he reminded me about ticks, but didn't warn me about a frickin' bear.
Just kind of slipped his mind.
Oh yeah, that old thing. It's fine. But I can't fight off a bear.
I'll never forget one night, I got so terrified. Me and some friends were out, like, camping, And we could hear in the middle of the night just this, like, snuffling sound right around the perimeter of our, like, tent.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and it was, like, a very loud, like just smelling for food. And so, of course, we were like, well, that's obviously a bear. Oh, my God. Holy crap. It's, like, right by our sleeping heads, and there's, like, a thin little tent tarp between us and this bear, and it turns out it was just a dog.
Okay. Well, both of them were looking for snacks.
It was just a dog sniffing around for snacks. So I'm glad it wasn't a bear. But I've definitely heard them, like, kind of, like, growling in the woods when out camping at night before, though.
This is just why you don't go camping. Boom.
Yeah.
Problem solved. So, all right, guys, well, we are going to go take a quick break. Amanda, thank you so much for that super awesome story, and I am already terrified.
Great!
Yay!
That'll be perfect going into your story, to already be scared a little bit.
Yeah, uh-huh, sure. But anyway, we will be right back. And we're back! So, it is now my turn, and I would like to preface my story by saying, it's a weird ride. I was in a weird headspace when I did this one. So.
That just means it's going to be great.
I don't know. I mean, it's not as put together as my normal ones, so.
Well, good. You get to be the wild card this time.
I guess. All right. So, I love this topic. Because I get to retouch on an animal that we've actually talked about in the past, though it's not my actual topic, I just wanted to retouch on it.
Ooh.
I want to remind people that both the giant squid and the colossal squid are real animals that were believed to be the stuff of legends.
Oh, that's funny, because I was totally reading about the giant squid earlier and was like, I almost want to bring that up, but I think we've already brought that up.
We did, which I will talk about in a little bit, but the giant squid had never been seen alive until 2004 when it was caught on camera for the first time, and it wasn't until 2006 that one was captured and brought up to the surface.
Isn't that just unreal? Sorry, that just mesmerizes me. It was 2004.
2004. I was 14. You were 13. 2006. I was 16. You were 15. We were both in high school by that point, barely. We were babies. But I want you to keep that in mind while I tell you about this other possibly impossible animal. Now, I'm actually going to talk about an animal that might or might not be real, quotation marks.
Oh.
I also like the name of the animal that I have chosen, as it was mentioned in our previous episode, and I bet you can't guess. I will give you $5 if you guess the name of this animal.
Oh my God.
I will give you $10. I will put it in your mailbox tomorrow if you can guess this.
It was the dinghy episode, wasn't it? Is that the episode that we brought it up?
No, that was the giant squid one, but
I don't remember.
But no, I mean, like, this was literally our last episode, like one fine day.
Oh.
I talked to it's mentioned in there.
Oh my
briefly.
God, I'm so bad at this game.
$10 on the line.
I feel like I'm on, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Can I phone a friend?
Can I
ask the host?
No.
Sorry.
No. There are no lifelines. You've used all of them.
B, final answer.
No.
Okay, so what was it?
So I want to talk about the Thunderbird.
Oh, okay.
Which, if you remember from our last episode, One Fine Day, was the name of the gallon glass jug of wine that was thrown at one of the players.
I love small trivias. I'm really bad at them, though. But that's okay. Great.
Okay, enough of the fun stuff. Now it's time to get down to facts. But I used the word facts loosely this time.
Facts in quotation marks.
Facts, which is not my normal thing, because normally I like facts, like solid.
I'm gonna say I'm facts. More of the quotation facts gal around here.
So, the Thunderbird is supposedly a mythical creature from North American indigenous peoples' history and culture. Stories about the Thunderbird come from the Algonquin, Mononahe, Ojibwe, Ho-Chunk, and many other tribes across the United States and Canada. Now, there will be a few words from the indigenous languages in these stories, and I swear I will do my best to say them correctly and not dingy my way through this, but if I do, I am so, so, so sorry.
You're trying, so.
I am trying. Apparently Bella's gonna jump. Yep.
Bye, okay. Bella. Had enough She'll of this back. Animal talk.
She is an animal. She should be right in... No, she's probably just gonna go down there to scratch and then want to come right back up.
Of course.
Because we had so much trouble getting her up here the first time. But anyway, she is literally just wallowing on the ground. She's like, I just need to scratch everything all at once. She's so cute, though. Are you done?
She's like, maybe.
Don't you wag your tail at me all cute like.
She's going to wait until you start talking again.
Yeah, that's the idea, I think. You coming? Oh!
Oh, God.
Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. Come on. You can do this.
You tried.
Yep.
We have faith.
Come on, Bells. Yeah! She made it. Okay. In many of the legends, the Thunderbird is depicted as a massive bird whose bright colored feathers are so large they are compared to canoe paddles that have to be folded in half to fit in a bow quiver. They were so mighty that they could carry a whale, which seemed to be their favorite food source, in their massive talons. A flap of its powerful wings made the sound of thunder, which is probably where it got its name. Lightning was said to come out of its mouth. Some see it as a protector, a part of our origin story, while others have portrayed it as a dangerous enemy. So, many of the legends say that the Thunderbird is able to take a human form. They do so by simply removing their feathers, which, much like taking off a coat and tipping their beaks back over their head, similar to removing a mask, but I like to think of it more like a transformer turning into a robot. You know, a little...
Yeah, where you flip the little head up. I can see that.
And then it is free to walk among the humans. And when it's done and ready to return to the sky, it simply just pulls its beak back down and puts its feathers back on. So here are two of my favorite stories about the Thunderbird that I found. One story does depict the Thunderbird as kind of an enemy, but after reading it, I thought the people kind of had it coming, but I'll let you judge that.
They only had themselves to blame.
He had it coming.
Thank you. Continue on, sorry.
I have a thing to send you. Actually. No, I'll send it later, but it's funny. So, at one point in time, it was said there was a great flood that covered a significant portion of the earth. During this flood, Thunderbird is said to have fought Mimlos Well. Their fight was long and brutal. The Thunderbird would grab Mimlos Well with his mighty talons and drag the creature to his mountain nest. Mimlos Well was tricky, however, and would manage to escape the nest and find refuge in the water again. Every time Thunderbird captured Mimlos Well, there would be a great fight between the two beasts. The noise that resulted from their fight was so great it shook the mountains. Their battle was so brutal that they uprooted all the trees in the area they fought in. The fight between Thunderbird and Mimlos Well continued for a great period of time until finally Thunderbird was tired and allowed Mimlos Well to escape into the depths of the ocean. It is said that this is why the killer whale is still to be found in the ocean today, as Mimlos Well is thought to be represented by this whale. Although the fight between the two creatures ended with no clear victor, the memory of their battle still can be seen on the face of the earth. The places where they fought still remain bare of trees to this day and are thought to be the prairies that are found on the Olympic Peninsula. So that's the first story. This is the second one where I want you guys to be judgy at the end.
All right, we're ready.
There is said to be a time when a hunter living in Beaver Prairie happened across the Thunderbird's kills while looking for food. While there, he saw a great well that the Thunderbird had carried into the prairie. The well was so heavy that the Thunderbird needed to rest before eating its prey and had fallen asleep. The hunter took a feather from the Thunderbird's wing and went back to his people. When he returned to his village, he told his people of his encounter with Thunderbird and showed them the feather as evidence. The feather was as long as a canoe paddle, and it did not take them long before they had come to believe the hunter. He then told the people that he had seen a well in the prairie, and that if they went quickly, they would be able to cut up the well and eat it themselves. A great number of beach and river tribes came in canoes and approached the dead carcass of the well. In their greedy excitement, they cut up the whole well. By the end of the evening, the entire well had been cut into pieces and was being cooked by the people. They were satisfied with this feat, though their satisfaction would not last long. Suddenly, the sky became dark and the clouds began to draw together. This was the sign that the Thunderbird was returning and was angry with the people for stealing his food while he was sleeping. He caused a great storm to take place. At first, the storm was only rain. Soon, however, the rain turned into hail and was larger than a man's fist. The hail plummeted to the ground with a brutal speed and killed everyone in the prairie below. After Thunderbird's storm passed, he turned the people and all of their stolen meat into stone. This caused a ridge of large rocks to be formed. This ridge reached from one edge of the prairie to the other end. It is said that this ridge still exists. If one looks closely, they can see the head and ribs of the great well that was stolen from Thunderbird. That's the end of the story. So I kind of feel like they had it coming.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of their own fault.
I mean, I know if someone steals food from me, I'm going to be real mad.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would turn someone to stone if I could. Because then they're just going to be there all the time. And it's going to remind me that they took my food. And I can't do anything else after that.
Yeah. That's true.
So, but...
But can we talk about how terrifying hail is, though?
Yeah, it's really scary.
It's like one of those, like, it feels apocalyptic when it hails because you just go outside and there's, like, golf ball size pieces of ice just falling from the sky.
Yeah.
And just, like, hitting things.
I remember I was driving my first car that I had ever bought, and it started hailing, and I called my mom. I'm like, what do I do? And she was like, well, I mean, you can't stop. Come home.
You're like, but.
But.
My windshield!
My car! So, as we all know, a lot of myths and legends are based off of real events, like with our squid friends I mentioned earlier. It is believed that the giant and colossus squids are directly linked to the stories of the Kraken. For some spooky tales about those two, go find our episode Into the Deep, but I will be posting it as a bonus episode for our Patreon neighbors. So what giant bird could possibly have inspired stories of the Thunderbird? Well, it might not have been a bird at all, but actually a remnant of a time long, long ago.
Oh, like a pterodactyl?
They are the largest creatures to ever attain flight. With wingspans reaching nearly 40 feet, pterosaurs ruled the prehistoric skies for over 100 million years. You guessed it right.
Yes! Because now that we know that our dinosaurs, some of them had, like, feathers on them almost.
Well, like, actually, the pterosaurs were not dinosaurs. They're cousins of the dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, there is that classification. So there are at least 130 valid pterosaur genera, according to David Horn, a paleontologist at Queen Mary University of London. They were widespread and lived in numerous locations across the globe, from China to Germany and to the Americas. Pterosaurs first appeared in the late Jurassic period and roamed the skies until the end of the Cretaceous period, 228 to 66 million years ago. According to an article published in 2008 in a German scientific journal, Zetelana. So, pterosaurs lived among the dinosaurs and became extinct around the same time, but they were not dinosaurs. Rather, pterosaurs were flying reptiles.
That's scary, just that sentence, flying reptiles.
But did they really die out? And even if they hadn't, how would something with a 40-foot wingspan not be seen flying around? Well, to answer the second question, as recently as April of last year, a new species of pterosaur was discovered called the Tape Gerids, who were small to medium-sized pterosaurs that stood around 4 foot tall with a wingspan about 13 feet wide. And these little, and I use that term loosely, kind of match up with some stories that I'm going to tell y'all about. Got a little southern there, but...
It's aight.
It's aight. Everything's fine.
Y'all.
Y'all. I love it. The most known story is about a little boy named Marlon Lowe and was covered in the Boston Globe in 1977.
It's not that long ago.
No, it's really not. I mean, my mother was alive. My mom was 17. Gods. So, it was titled Carried Off, and it said, 10-year-old Marlon Lowe and his mother, Mrs. Ruth Lowe, claimed that one of two large black birds with 8-foot wingspans tried to carry Marlon off in its claws Monday evening in Lawndale, Illinois. Although several bird experts say that no bird native to Illinois could lift 70-pound Marlin, Mrs. Lowe says that Marlin was carried 20 feet before a bird dropped him when he struck the bird with his hand. So, other abduction stories include that of a 42-pound 5-year-old girl named Sinhild Hansen, who in June 1932 was carried away by a huge eagle from her parents' farm in Lika, Norway. The giant bird carried her for more than a mile, the report stated, after which it dropped her unharmed on a high mountain ledge.
Oh my god.
In 1838, another 5-year-old girl was snatched from the slope of the Swiss Alps where she was playing by an eagle that carried the child to its nest. Unfortunately, the girl did not survive the ordeal, and her badly mutilated body was discovered some 2 months later by a shepherd. The eagle's nest, subsequently found, was said to attain several eaglets surrounding heaps of goat and sheep bones.
Mm.
And there are also videos out there where, like, there are videos out there that you can go and watch. Like, there was one that I saw from 2012, I think, that it actually kind of looked like a pterodactyl flying around. But there was a lot of people on YouTube that were like, it's a hoax, you can tell, because this, this, and this. But I'm like, but I want to believe.
Yes.
It's a whole part of this. And I read this article by a cryptozoologist who does not believe in evolution, which I have issue with, but... Huh. That's my own agenda. But yeah, he was really down for the idea that the pterodactyl was still alive. Pterosaurs. I'm sorry, not pterodactyl, pterosaur. But I'm going to end it there, partially because I forgot what I was going to say or where I was going with this, and partly because I want to be vague. Were these children attacked by a legendary thunderbird or a cousin of the dinosaurs? You decide!
Could you imagine you're just, like, chilling in your yard and this just, like, enormous flying beast just comes and just nabs you up out of the ground, like, and just carries you? That's, like, so scary.
Yeah, I don't like that idea at all. I do know that my fight or flight is hard set on fight, so I'm pretty sure I'd bite it. I've been asked not to return to 3 haunted houses, okay? I punch things.
I guess I'm more of a flight or freeze person.
Oh, no.
Mine is usually, like, escape, 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 get away, or just like freeze, and I'm like, I don't like this situation, so my brain is just gonna make me stand here.
Not to bring it back to like a bummer subject, but like the two times that I've been sexually assaulted, I hurt them. So it's one of the, like, it's just anytime I'm in a situation where I'm like, I really don't like this, my first thought is I'm going to fuck you up.
Yep. Use like, them teeth.
Yep. So one, I'm pretty sure I broke a guy's nose. But
he had anyway, it coming.
He did.
Don't want to get copyright struck, but...
We just said it a few times. It's fine. My sources this week I got from mythology.net, wikipedia.org, ladailypost.com, answersisgenius.org, liveabout.com. I used them twice for two different articles, livescience.com, and sciencedaily.com. I've noticed that my sources just keep getting... I keep getting more with each episode.
Nothing wrong with that.
Remember the good old days when it was just straight up wiki?
Yeah, just all wiki all the time.
But anyway, guys, that is actually all that I have to talk about. Like I said, I was very scatterbrained with this. I knew what I wanted to talk about, but it was just finding the things to back up what I wanted to say. But the great thing is, this is not a, you know, this is not an educational paper, so I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
This is a spooky podcast about cryptids and whatnot.
I was so close to going down the cryptid route for this, but I was like, I don't know. I want to throw a curveball and talk about an actual animal.
Isn't that great, though? We switched it.
We did swap it up.
You went with facts, I'm proud of us. I went with fantasy.
Or facts. We Maybe. Don't know.
Yep, I needed some whimsy in my life this week. Also, happy inauguration, guys!
You!
Hopefully the crazy dies down.
Inauguration day!
Was yesterday. You know, at least there wasn't fucking riots at the Capitol.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's all I got to talk about. Ooh, it's my turn to draw.
Oh, it is!
Oh, snap. So, but yeah, we have all kinds of super awesome things about to be happening because it is 2021 and we're gonna make it happen.
Yeah.
Whether it wants to or not. But if you have your own story to tell or ideas for the heck, go ahead and hit us up at nightmaretown18@gmail.com, over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, over on our Patreon, which is at, it's nightmaretownpodcast@patreon.com.
Yes.
Yeah. And let's see, what else do we have? We have a YouTube.
Got our website.
We have our website, which is nightmaretownpodcast.com. Thank you very much, Amanda. And our next episode, which I'm already prepared for, is called Blood.
Ooh, blood.
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 Blood. Blood.
I'm excited.
Gallons of the stuff. I'm going to listen to so much My Chemical Romance tonight.
I'm just going to have to go look up that video of that little kid that says blood. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No.
It's just a little kid. Like, I think his mom or something had, like, a paper cut or something, and he's just, like, freaking out. But he keeps saying blood, like, really enunciated. He says, blood! Blood! It's not funny! Like, because I guess his dad was laughing or something. And so he's, like, two or three, and he's, like, yelling at his dad that it's not funny and that there's blood. And it's, like, really, like, expressive. I'll send it to you. It's one of those, like, old internet videos from, like, the early days of YouTube.
Stop aging us.
I can't. Sorry.
They don't need to know that I'm turning 31 this year.
Well, if it helps, we've all aged, like, 3 years just this past year, so.
Fine. All right, guys. Well.
Until next time.
Tell us a story. Bye.